Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men! For they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. All of Psalm 139. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which guides us, teaches us, counsels us, empowers us, and strengthens us to walk with you more and more faithfully every single day. Thank you, Lord, for this psalm that describes the beauty with which you've created each and every one of us, the intricate details of how you formed us in our mother's wombs, and the love that you place in each and every one of us. Father, more and more open our eyes to see the world as you see it, to think as you think, and to have a heart for the things that you have a heart for as well. Stir us as the church, Lord, to have a heart for sharing the gospel and a heart to stand for life and to stand against the tragedy of abortion. Help us to know, Lord, what you're calling each one of us to do, to be witnesses standing for life, and help us to courageously and boldly be about that work daily. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we're thankful to know that you have brought this program together and you've got listeners that you want to speak to today. And Father, we pray that they will hear what you have to say to them and they'll respond to it in a way that brings you much honor. We pray for the listeners and the different situations out there, Father, with the health issues or financial issues or relationship issues. Father, we pray your blessings on them. Help them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We'd like to continue to encourage you to visit the AFA Resource Center. You will find online features and exclusive products to help equip you with the tools to help you to be a transformative voice in our culture. This is a marketplace to inform, equip, and activate believers and their families to help be salt and light in our culture. You can visit the AFA Resource Center going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. And there also want to mention, too, that Our two books are both there. The Intercession Chronicles, which of course is a fiction book, but at the same time, a serious prayer tool to help train and guide and strengthen your prayer life and help to set your prayer life on fire. It's a tool with a prayer guide at the back that will help and greatly help and strengthen and encourage you in your prayer life. Hope that you'll see about getting a copy of the Intercession Chronicles. And the other book, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. It's a compilation of articles we've written over a period of years that help the church to better grasp the need for us to boldly get involved with standing for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. Both books are discipleship tools to help strengthen you as a kingdom warrior following Christ in our culture. So I hope that you'll take time to get those and take a look at some of the other resources on the AFA website, AFA bookstore website as well. Today, we're blessed and honored to have our guest today, Claire Colwell. She's the author of a book called Survivor, and it's a story with a number of interesting twists and turns, but it's a powerful testimony of the grace and the power of God, how he worked in her life and her mother's life as well. Claire, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me today. It's such an honor, and I've got to say, I'm already pumped up because our most powerful tool against abortion and things that are evil in this world is prayer. And so I'm already excited and ready to share my story.
Well, we're honored to have you. And, you know, Claire, I would just say this up front, too. Praise God for persons like yourself who've been through difficult journeys like you and your family have, yet at the same time, you've chosen to be a loud and a bold and a loving voice to really speak on behalf of babies in the womb, but also to help our culture understand God's heart and God's mind as it relates to this issue. So again, grateful to have you. If you'll take a moment just to a little further introduce yourself, but I want to ask you to get right into your story as you share both your story, which is found in the book entitled Survivor, An Abortion Survivor's Surprising Story of Choosing Forgiveness and Finding Redemption.
Yes, thank you so much. I live in Austin, Texas. I am married. We have four children together. They range from 19 years old to 8 years old, so we're busy over here. And I grew up in Austin, and so my parents are still here, and I have one sister that I grew up with. Her name's Rachel. She lives in California, and Rachel and I are both adopted, and my sister had actually had the privilege of meeting her birth mother when she was about 17 years old, and I'm 2.5 years older than her, and I had not decided to meet my birth mother yet, but I watched as my sister had this experience of meeting her birth mother, and we actually went to dinner. Her birth mother came into town, and we went to dinner, and that was the first time I had ever been around someone who looked like Rachel or I, and I got to see all these similarities, all these things that I had never experienced growing up, you know, personality traits, and they wear the same shoe size, and they act very similar. They have really similar personalities. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is so cool. I've never been around this. But I also noticed and appreciated just how selfless and loving she was because she had given me and my family, my sister. She had put my sister's needs before her own in placing my sister for adoption and giving her this incredibly loving family. And so that was the moment. I actually went home that night and began the conversation with my family, with my parents especially, about meeting my birth mother, because that was the moment where I realized, okay, my birth mother is a person. Like, she's a mother. She's someone like my mother, like me. Yes, she placed me for adoption, but she is someone. She's someone's daughter. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have the opportunity to thank her for what she had done for me mm-hmm. in giving me my life and my family. And I knew that was such a gift because I had seen it in my sister, but also because I had been raised in this Christian home that never shied away from the conversation surrounding adoption, that it was a very positive thing growing up. We knew that we were wanted, chosen, and loved, not only in our family, by our parents,
hey, Claire,
but also by God.
Claire, I wanted to ask you, before you kind of continue to move forward in the program, would you specifically pray for just the whole ministry of adoption? You know, you think, as you're sharing this story, there are some people that have been down the road of adoption, but so many other people, that's a foreign country to them. That's weird. And God, I believe, is calling many more people that have never even considered it to consider and to look at the reality of adoption, to go down there. Would you pray for God to really speak to people to prayerfully seek His heart concerning the matter of getting involved with the ministry of adoption?
Absolutely. God, I thank you for the way that you have adopted us, those of us who believe and put our faith and our trust in you, that the way that you have adopted us into your family, and what an incredible gift that is for us. And I thank you that we have the opportunity as believers to model that in our own homes and bringing children into our homes and calling them ours and giving them a name and a family and love and grace and forgiveness, modeling that after what you have done for us. God, I pray for the community of believers who are listening right now that you would stir up in their hearts a desire to meet that need, because we know that if people across in churches across the country simply stood up and said, "I will adopt," we wouldn't have the crisis of children in foster care, children who are waiting to be adopted. If believers would simply follow the heart that you have for them and model that through adoption. And so I pray for anyone that's listening today that you would stir up that in their hearts, because through adoption, children's lives are changed, and we pray for that today.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Claire. Okay, if you'll just pick up right there where you left off as you were sharing about, you were talking to your family about the experience you had as you observed your sister meeting her birth mom.
Yes, and you know, my parents raised us. We knew that we were wanted, chosen, and loved. We were raised on love and grace and forgiveness, and taught about Christ and what He did for us on the cross. And that we were raised in. I really can't think of a better way, a better scenario. I tell people all the time that I wish everybody could experience the gift of what Rachel and I had in our homes through adoption and through how our parents loved us. And so I decided, after meeting my sister's birth mother, that I wanted to know my birth mother. But even if that wasn't possible, because my adoption was a closed adoption, and so I wasn't able to know anything until I was 18, and that even when I reach out, my birth mother has the ability to say yes or no, I'd like to meet Claire, or I don't. And so I knew that was a possibility. But I wanted to thank her, no matter what. That was the number one thing, was I wanted to thank her for giving me my life and my family. And so I picked up the phone, and I called my adoption agency, and a woman named Debbie answered the phone. And this is an adoption agency. It's called Deaconess Homes. That's what it was called. Now it's called Deaconess Pregnancy and Adoption Services, and it's in Oklahoma City. And a woman named Debbie answered my phone call that day, and she said, I'd like to search for my birth mother. Her name is Tanya. That's all I know. But I was adopted through.
Claire, we're going to have to jump in right here, and we'll pick up right there on the other side of the break. Our phone guest today is Claire Colwell. She's the author of the book Survivor, an abortion survivor's surprising story of choosing forgiveness and finding redemption. We'll be right back.
The raging seas, you command the highest cause mountains to fall upon their knees. You're the one who welcomes sinners, and you open blinded eyes. You restored the brokenhearted, and you brought the dead to life. Forgetting all our sins, you remember all your promises. You are amazing.
Music of Lincoln Brewster, More Than Amazing. The brief but the powerful words of Psalm 23 tell us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're always appreciative of you being a part of our listening family. Just a reminder to you, if you're one listening, and if you as a believer have never started the habit of reading the Word of God every day, I would like to encourage and challenge you to start that habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. Life for every person is an adventure. And of course, as we know the Lord and as we follow Him, it becomes an exciting adventure. The key is to trust Him one step at a time, one day at a time. And being in the Word of God helps to equip and guide and strengthen you to keep your focus on the Lord and to trust Him even when the journey gets difficult, tough, and stormy. But He's promised to always, always be with us. So reading 3 chapters a day will bless you tremendously. Hope you'll start that habit today if you have not already. Our phone guest today is Clara Culwell. She's the author of the book, Survivor, An Abortion Survivor's Surprising Story of Choosing Forgiveness and Finding Redemption. Clara, if you'll pick up right there where you left off then.
Yes. So I, as I mentioned, I'm adopted. And so when my sister met her birth mother, it stirred something up inside of me to meet my birth mother. And so I called my adoption agency, and a woman named Debbie answered the phone. And I told her who I was. I told her that I wanted to meet my birth mother. If nothing else, I would love to just thank her for what she had done for me. And Debbie, right there, said, oh my goodness, Claire, I know exactly who you are. I'm actually staring at your picture on my desk. I've had this little baby picture of you on my desk for the past 21 years. And she described what she saw in the picture. She saw these little casts on my feet, and she saw this harness on my hips. And I was a pretty fragile, premature, tiny little baby. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, I thought, well, this is weird. I mean, who keeps someone's baby picture on their desk for 21 years?
Hmm.
But what I didn't know was God was about to reveal to me why she kept my baby picture on her desk for 21 years, because she knew something that I didn't know, that God was about to use my birth mother to reveal to me, to bring to me to where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And so Debbie said, I'll try to find your birth mother. She was very young. She was 13 years old when she lived here with us at this adoption home. And so I don't know if I'll be able to find her, but I'll try. And she said I was her
Claire,
peace worker. So
Claire, you said your mother, she was 13 when she gave you birth?
She was 13 when she was pregnant with me. She had just turned 14 right before she gave birth to me. And so this was Debbie, who answered my phone call at the adoption agency, was actually my birth mother's caseworker. And my birth mother had said over and over again that if she hadn't met Debbie, she didn't know how she would get through, because Debbie was the only person that showed her any type of compassion and love during that time, being pregnant at 13 years old.
Okay. So Debbie is going to try to find your birth mother at this point then.
She does. So she finds my birth mother on MySpace. Do you remember MySpace before Facebook? She says, "Does March 6, 1988 mean anything to you?" And my birth mother, of course, says, "Yes, yes." And she'd been waiting 21 years for that phone call or that message that I wanted to meet her. And so she agreed to meet me, and we met in Dallas, Texas, in an in-between spot between Oklahoma and where I live in Texas. And, gosh, I remember the preparing to meet her was pretty crazy. We thought about every little detail. What will we say? What will we eat? What will we listen to? What will the setting be like? And none of that mattered. When I opened the door, she knocked. We were already there at this friend's house where we reunited. And I opened the door, and it was like looking at this woman that I adored. I can't even describe it. I had never met her. I didn't know her for 21 years, but I knew instantly that I loved her, that I adored her. We looked so much alike. We're both about 5 foot nothing. And it was incredible. I loved every minute of getting to see who I looked like and what we had in common. I was actually studying to be a nurse, and she was a nurse at that time, and so that was pretty neat to find that out. And we decided we wanted to continue to get to know each other. And because our first meeting, I had brought my family and she had brought her family, we decided this next meeting I would go visit her, and it would be our first time where it was just me and her family getting to know her. And I thought, okay, this is the moment. This is the moment I want to really thank her. I really want to sit down with her and thank her for what she's done for me, giving me my life, my family. I mean, my life has been incredible because of her. And so I prepared. I got a ring and a necklace with my birthstone on it, and I bought a card. And I was on the way to Oklahoma. I flew there, and I was on the plane, and I had this blank card. And I kept thinking, what am I going to write? I mean, how could I even summarize how grateful I am to my birth mother in one card? I can't. And so I just wrote, "Thank you for choosing life for me." And I sealed the card up, and I put it in with the ring and the necklace with my birthstone on them. And I got there, and we had this great first day together. We went shopping in her little town in Oklahoma, her and her daughter, who was, I think she was about four at the time, one of my half sisters, and we had this great first day. And then the evening rolled around, and we ate dinner, everybody kind of did their own thing, and I thought, okay, this is it, this is the moment. And so I got the gift out, and she was sitting in this recliner chair in her living room, and I brought the gift out from my suitcase and said, "Here, I got you something." And she actually opened the ring and the necklace first. And she, you know, smiled and was so grateful and cried a little bit. Just, I think it surprised her. I don't think she expected me to bring her anything. And she asked me to fasten the necklace. And so I was fastening the necklace, standing to her, a little bit behind her, but kind of to the side, as I watched her open the card and read the words that I had written in the card.
Well, Claire, before you go further, would you take specifically now pray for birth mothers? You know, just the reality of birth mothers find themselves in many different difficult circumstances, and as your mom, as you had the chance to meet your birth mom, there may be some listening that are birth moms or who are family to birth moms. Would you pray specifically for birth moms right now?
God, I come before you knowing the incredible gift of a birth mother, knowing my own. And I pray for the things that my birth mother didn't have, for those who are considering being birth mothers, who are considering placing their children for adoption. I pray for strength. I pray for community. I pray that the lies of the enemy would go away, and that they would be surrounded with people who lift them up, who encourage them, who make the impossible possible for them in their moment of deciding whether or not they will choose to be birth mothers. And I pray for those that have already placed their child, who are currently birth mothers. I pray that you would tear down the lies of the enemy, that they maybe weren't good enough mothers because they placed for their children for adoption. I pray that you would make it known to them that they were incredible mothers because of the gift that they gave to their child in being selfless mothers and giving their child a family and a home. And I pray that you would encourage them through people around them, through the church community, through believers, to know that the only thing that matters about them, the only truth that matters about them, is what you say about them, not their circumstances, not what has happened in their past, not even the fact that they placed their child for adoption. What matters about them, what is true about them, is what you say about them, that they are wanted, chosen, loved, redeemed, a child of the King, if they believe and put their trust in you. And I pray right now that anyone who's listening, who is a birth mother, who is contemplating being a birth mother, that you would draw them near to you, and that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior, so that they can experience the same healing, the same redemption that I have, that my birth mother has, and that every single one of us deserves because we're children of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, so you had met your birth mom and had spent time with her, and you gave her the necklace, if you'll pick up right there where you left off.
And so I gave her this card, and so she opened the card after she opened the ring and the necklace, and she had been, you know, smiling and happy and crying happy tears when she opened the ring and the necklace, and then I watched her read the words on the card, "Thank you for choosing life for me." And in that moment, instantly, everything changed. Everything about her changed. Her happy tears turned into horrifically sad tears. I honestly can't even describe what I saw that day in her eyes, because it was so very painful. It was a pain that I knew, I thought for sure I'd never experienced that type of pain. It's an indescribable look in her eye, tears rolling down her face. Her entire body was trembling. Her hands were shaking. And she said, "Claire, there's something I need to tell you." She said, "I didn't choose life for you. I was 13 years old." And she said, "I need to tell you something, but let's go into this back room in her home." And it was the room I was staying in. And so we walked back there. And I remember she grabbed my hand and she was shaking. And I thought, what in the world? What is happening? I was so confused. This was supposed to be our happy moment where I told her everything that she had wanted to hear for 21 years. And yet it had this twist and turn to it that I didn't expect. And so we got into this room and we sat on the bed and we turned to face each other. And with that same look in her eye and tears streaming down her face, she told me about being pregnant at 13 and her mother telling her that there was only one choice for her, and that was to have an abortion. And so my birth mother had an abortion at 13 years old. She had a D&E, which is a dismemberment abortion. It actually tears the baby's body apart limb by limb. And she said it was painful. It was horrible. Nobody spoke to her in the room that day. Nobody asked her what her choice would have been, what they could do to help her, to encourage her. They all they did was call her names and give her an abortion and send her on her way. And they told her that her life would go back to normal. But she said, Claire, my life never went back to normal. And she said she went home and she had to go back to school and she wasn't allowed to tell anyone. She was trying to get back to normal. And she realized that she might still be pregnant. And so she went back to the doctor and they told her, oops, we accidentally missed one of your babies because you were pregnant with twins. And we did abort one of your twins, but one is still living. And
Claire, we're going to have to jump in here for another break, and we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Claire Colwell. She's the author of Survivor and Abortion Survivor's Surprising Story of Choosing Forgiveness and Finding Redemption. We'll be back.
Face a million different ways I gotta trust, but there's only one decision: how to live, how to love Jesus. Because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I won't you lead me in my choices, I believe that faith is nothing, if it isn't everything, every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing, you are God.
Of J.J. Weeks with Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Claire Colwell. She's the author of the book Survivor and Abortion Survivor's Surprising Story of Choosing Forgiveness and Finding Redemption. Claire, would you share with our listeners, if someone wants to get the book, how can they get it?
Oh, yes. You can get it anywhere books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian bookstore, etc. You can find that list on my website. It's ClaireColwell.com. That's ClaireColwell.com.
All right. Thank you then. Okay. So we ended at a pretty dramatic point there in your story. Would you pick up right there where you left off?
So after I gave this ring and necklace and card to my birth mother, she began to tell me how she didn't choose life for me, how when she was 13 years old, her mother took her to an abortion clinic. She did have an abortion, and she surprisingly returned after having her abortion to find out that she had been pregnant with twins and that the doctor had successfully aborted my twin. that I had survived my birth mother's abortion. And they actually, after she had her abortion and realized she was pregnant with twins, it wasn't legal anymore to have a second abortion in Oklahoma because she was around 24 to 26 weeks in gestation. And so that late term of an abortion wasn't legal there, but it was in Kansas. And so my birth mother was driven to Kansas to have a second abortion. But because they had ripped the amniotic sac that I was in, the doctors in Kansas turned her away. Otherwise, they would have been able to perform the second abortion, but it was too risky because of risk for infection for my birth mother. And so after being turned away in Kansas, my birth mother was driven through the night. She was dropped off at the adoption agency in Oklahoma City, where she lived for a few weeks, and then she delivered me actually at 30 weeks, so I was 10 weeks premature. I weighed 3 pounds, 2 ounces, and had club feet and a dislocated hip and a lot of complications. I was in the hospital for 2 months until my parents brought me home from the hospital, my parents who adopted me. And so I'm sitting there learning this information. I mean, I knew that I had these health complications. I knew that it was likely from being a premature baby. We didn't know exactly what it was all from. I knew that I had a lifelong history of chronic pain, even into my early adult years, and even still today, I suffer with certain things. And so I remember thinking, like, okay, well, this makes sense of those things. But oh my goodness, this was the most shocking moment of my entire life. I mean, I found out I wasn't wanted. I was rejected. I was even aborted. I was a twin. I had been missing the person who would have been closest to me for my entire life. But more than that, I had an up-close and personal look at what abortion did to someone like my birth mother, and what the lack of support and encouragement from her parents and the people around her did to her. It literally, she told me this, it halted her life. She was never, in any way, shape, or form, was she ever the same after that experience. And her pain and her brokenness and what it did to her, that is what changed me. It changed my heart in that room that day with her. But because of how I had been raised, because of my parents, and because I had been raised on grace and love and forgiveness, and because of what I knew Jesus did for me on the cross in taking the burden for my sins, if I believe and trust in him, I knew that he did the same thing for her. And I knew that he wanted to know her, and he wanted to bear her pain and her sins and her sorrows and the things that happened to her unjustly in the same way that they happened to me. And so I knew that in that moment, I wasn't going to go running out of the room screaming and angry and unforgiving like she expected me to. I knew that God embraces me so that I can embrace her, people that wrong me, people that hurt me, people who are desperate and broken and hurting. And so I embraced her in that moment, and I forgave her. And that began a healing journey in both of us that has led me to where I am today, sharing my story across the country and talking about what abortion is and what it does and the humanity of the unborn child that you can see through through my face, through my humanity, because when you look at me, you're literally looking at the face of my twin. You're looking at the aborted baby. And but it's all because of the grace and the forgiveness and the redemption that Christ has for us, that I have been able to choose to forgive my birth mother and choose to share the the scariest moment of my life, the most shocking moment of my life, where I learned things about myself that I never thought I would learn, that I never thought would be my story. Mm-hmm. I would never be that unwanted, rejected.
Mm. Well, Claire, would you take time now specifically to pray for persons who may be struggling with the reality of forgiveness? And of course, you know, in your own journey, you have a very unique story, but one which obviously the grace of God is needed greatly, because of course there were those persons, including your birth mom, who even through very strained and difficult circumstances, she along with your grandmother attempted to abort you. And of course the forgiveness there, and even just some of the physical things you're dealing with today as a result of that attempted abortion. Would you pray for people that may be struggling with forgiveness today?
God, we come before you as broken, hurting people, every single one of us. And I ask that you would work in my heart and the hearts of the people that are listening today to give us a heart of forgiveness for those that have wronged us, for those that have hurt us, for anything in our life that we are holding on to and not giving over to you. God, I pray that you would meet us in that you would come into the trenches with us, as I know you will if we ask you, if we allow you, that you would break down the chains that are keeping us from allowing you to enter into those deep, dark, scary places of our life, of our hearts, and that you would work in us, give us a heart of forgiveness, and set us free through that.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Claire. Well, so Claire, did you find it difficult under the circumstances to feel like you can move forward with your relationship with your mom? Was that difficult at all?
It was difficult. I think more for her than for me. I was pretty quick to forgive her. I tell people a lot that if you could have been a fly on the wall in that room and saw what I saw, there would be no question in your mind if choosing her, if loving her, if forgiving her was the right choice, was an easy choice, because it truly was, because of what I saw, the pain and the brokenness that I saw in her. And so for me, moving forward with the relationship was pretty easy. I was excited to continue to get to know her, and I was excited about the possibility of how God could use me in healing some of the things that happened to her when she was 13 years old. But for her, it was different. You know, I was that everyday reminder to her. Every time she heard my name, every time she saw me, every time she was around me, it took her back. I was that reminder to her of what had happened to her, of the pain and the injustice that had happened to her. Mm-hmm. And so it was really hard. She pushed me away for quite a few years. She didn't want much to do with me. I was already publicly sharing our story at that time, which she gave me permission to do, because she said that she didn't want another little girl like her to experience what she had, mm-hmm. Or another person like me to experience what I have. She was on board with that, but it didn't mean it wasn't hard. It didn't mean that it didn't bring back those feelings and just take her to this place that she had to work through now, 21 years later. And so it took quite a while for our relationship to develop. And I think one of the things, probably the biggest thing that really helped her be able to have a better relationship with me is my birth mother came to know the Lord, and she accepted that he forgave her, and that he could bring beauty from ashes, and he could use our pain and the things that happened to us to bring him glory and to point people towards him and towards his grace and mercy and love and his forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And so it's been quite a journey with lots of ups and downs that God has really worked in her life.
Well, you know, Claire, our time is about gone at this point. But before we end our broadcast, as usual, I'm going to invite persons who are listening. There may be someone listening who maybe has been down, obviously not the same road, but a similar road that Claire's birth mom went through, or just had a difficult journey that has caused you trauma in your life. Well, Jesus really is the answer to every problem, every trial, every difficulty. If you're listening and you know you've never given your life to Christ, or you sense a need to recommit your heart and your life, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me, to make that step, to ask Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. Simply pray this prayer with me, if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please do email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to be in touch with you to share with you some resources to help you to grow in your faith. Our phone guest today has been Claire Colwell, and Claire is going to be with us next broadcast as well to pick up and share further about both the story and the message of the book as well. Claire, thanks for being with us today, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
And we look forward to having you share the rest of your story on the next broadcast. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray much for Claire Colwell and for her book and for her ministry as she continues to minister. But again, please tune in next time so you can hear the rest of her story and more of the message of the book, Survivor, an Abortion Survivor's Surprising Story of Choosing Forgiveness and Finding Redemption.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.